ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
We'll go to text number 8.
मय्येव मन आधत्स्व मयि बुद्धिं निवेशय निवसिष्यसि मय्येव अत ऊर्ध्वं न संशयः।
Just fix your mind upon me, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and engage all your intelligence in me. Thus you will live in me always without a doubt. So in the previous verses, Lord Krishna glorified the path of devotional service to be superior to that of the process of impersonal worship. In fact, Lord added even more to show how Lord protects a devotee while a devotee lives in this world and elevates him and delivers him after he completes his time in the material world, taking him back home, back to Godhead. So reassuring Arjuna that it is best for you to become my devotee and just surrender to me, and I will take care of you. You will find in this verse, Krishna uses the word mayi 3 times. Mayi eva mana adatsu, mayi buddhim niveshi, nivasishti, mayi eva. 3 times. So this goes to show that Krishna wants Arjuna to meditate only on him and not on yourself like a jnani, or not like the Mishra Bhaktas, who only attain the Vaikuntha after many, many lifetimes of being in heaven. So, mayi, 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 3 times Krishna says that. Because there are various types of spiritualists who try to understand the absolute truth. As it is said, the jnani actually is struggling to give up his bodily consciousness by trying to understand the difference between body and soul. So they try to understand how this sample, the small spirit soul, is one in quality with that Supreme Brahman. How the soul is actually pure, Satchidananda. So they don't meditate on Krishna, they meditate on themselves. That's why their worship is called as Ahangraha Upasana. So they try to understand the quality of the soul, nature of the soul, and try to negate all that is material. Just like the sample of water from an ocean kept in a bottle is of the same quality as the ocean. Similarly, the soul has the same qualities like the Supreme Soul, but in minute proportion. So they try to realize that by strenuously trying to negate the bodily consciousness. And Krishna here specifically mentions, don't try to do that. It is more easier for you to give up bodily consciousness simply by thinking of me, he says. By absorbing oneself in Krishna, one can very easily forget the other designations, namely the superficial designations of caste, creed, color, and the post and positions, the society or language, nationality, all those things. They can be forgotten by absorbing in Krishna. So he says, mayi 3 times. So this verse actually talks about absorption of a devotee in bhakti in the most perfected stage, the highest of the perfectional stage, where a devotee for a moment cannot think of anything else. His thoughts are constantly absorbed in Krishna. As elsewhere we studied, if you remember, the thoughts of my pure devotees dwell in me and their lives are fully devoted to me. They converse amongst themselves about me. And yeah, and the last line, what he says? Yeah, and then? And in doing so, they derive a very great relish and they derive great satisfaction. Machitta madgata prana bodhayanta parasparam kadayantascha maam nityam tushyanti charamanticha. So that is also of a pure devotee. So this is the platform of a pure devotee. That his mind is fixed on Krishna, as he says here. And his buddhi, his intelligence also is constantly used in discussing about Krishna. And by doing so, Krishna says, you will always live in my consciousness by doing these two things. That is the reason why when Parikshit Maharaj is about to die, 7 days before that, he approaches Sukadeva Goswami and is asking him, what is the duty of a dying man? So he told him, Tasmad Bharata Sarvatma Bhagavan Ishwaro Harihi Shrotavya Kirtitavyascha Svartavyascha Chetabhayam. He told him, hear about Krishna, Shrotavya Kirtitavyascha, sing about his glories, speak about him, Smartavya, remember him. And in this way you can attain complete freedom from fear, you can become fearless. So that is of course the method how one can remember Krishna, by hearing and chanting. One can always remember Krishna. But the platform of a pure devotee is that he is unable to forget Krishna for even one moment. Like we see, all the great devotees, the characters in Bhagavatam, you will find that as soon as any incident happens, immediately they remember the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It will be mentioned there. Like Ambarish Maharaj immediately thinks of Lord Vishnu. Or Arjuna, as soon as he has to do an activity, any activity, immediately thinks of Krishna. And then only he performs that activity. So this kind of constant remembrance of Krishna, what happens after the ruchi stage? Actually, Shraddha, Sadhsanga, Bhajanakriya, Anartha Nivritti, Nishtha. After one crosses these five stages, one comes to the stage of ruchi, where one gets a very great taste in the path of devotional service. One relishes Krishna consciousness. And then, when one goes to asakti stage, one helplessly thinks of Krishna. Just as we helplessly are plunged into thoughts of sense gratification, a devotee is helplessly carried away, or swayed away by the thoughts of Krishna. So beyond that stage, a devotee behaves like this. Actually, such devotees become oblivious to the external stimuli of the material world. If somebody insults them, that insult doesn't hurt them at all. It doesn't hurt them. If somebody ridicules them, insults them, threatens them, it doesn't actually affect them at all, because they are internally absorbed in such remembrance of Krishna. In fact, in one of the purports of Prabhupada explains that such devotees don't want others to impede their remembrance of Krishna. So whatever others say, they agree. If somebody insults them or ridicules them, they say, okay, whatever you are saying is all right for me. So don't stop my remembrance of Krishna. So they don't want that to be hampered. So that is the reason why they don't take any insults very seriously at all. That is the platform of actually a devotee. And such a devotee, actually, they see Krishna at every moment. We were explaining this some time ago. Seeing Krishna every moment is actually not looking at different forms of Krishna at every atom, but seeing the shams in the form of Krishna in one's consciousness, actually. Anything that one sees, one immediately relates it to Krishna, just like a money-minded man relates everything to money, as we were saying before. A lusty man relates everything to lust, like that. So pure devotee also remembers Krishna like that, always. Especially, how he remembers Krishna is also explained. Such a devotee should be thinking of Krishna and serving him with great affection and attachment. These are actually symptoms of a pure devotee. He thinks of Krishna affectionately and serves him with very great attachment. Just as in our material relationships, we can easily see people showing affection and a firm attachment. The nature of affection is that it immediately disturbs our mind and makes our mind restless. If you have affection for someone, you always have fear that, you know, nothing bad should happen to that person. Like parents, you know, worry about their children, or a husband or wife, they worry about one another. So the mind becomes restless when we are affectionate towards someone. And we want to be very careful in pleasing that person. And the nature of attachment is that it drives us. The nature of attachment is that it pushes us, it drives us to sacrifice ourselves for the object which we want to serve. So these are actually symptoms of one who is absorbed in material consciousness. In the same way, when one is thinking of Krishna always, one can also see such symptoms like this, that one has great affection for Krishna and one is attached to Krishna in serving him. We saw in the previous verse, the Lord told Arjuna, as we studied before, that a devotee is responsible only to cultivate devotion and eagerness to serve Krishna. And it is Krishna's duty to accept the responsibility fully for rescuing the devotee. Teshamaham samudharta mrityu samsara sagarat bhavami nachirat partha maya veshtu chitsam. Lord said that. You don't worry about anything. You just focus on being eager in rendering service to me and be fully devoted to me. That's all you have to do. And I will rescue you. So the Lord promised. And in this verse the Lord is saying, that's what precisely a devotee does. A devotee does not bother about anything else. He just becomes fully devoted. What attracts the Lord to his devotee is this, that a devotee has many characteristics that win the Lord's heart. One of the characteristics is that a devotee is totally selfless. A devotee is not selfish. We can easily see that. Even a person who is a yogi or a jnani cannot be said to be selfless. You can see, for example, Durvasamani, he wanted to kill the body of a Vaishnava, like Ambarish Maharaj, isn't it? He created a big demon to kill the body of a Vaishnava. But then, when the Swarsha Chakra attacked him, he became afraid of protecting his own body, which goes to show that he was selfish. So he didn't mind killing the body of another person, but when it came to his body, he wanted to run away and protect himself. So this is selfishness. So in this world, everyone is selfish. But you can see that a pure devotee is totally selfless. Like Ambarish was standing in front of that huge demon, but he did not budge one inch. Even the brahmanas and the surroundings, they fled from there, fearful of the demon. But Ambarish just stood there with complete faith that the Lord will protect me. If Lord wants to protect me, who can stop him from protecting me? In this way, the heart of a devotee is totally surrendered to Lord and he is selfless and he sacrifices everything for the Lord. That's one of his qualities. Also, the Lord cannot enjoy alone without his devotees. Just like a father, maybe a very rich man, like you sometimes see a very wealthy landlord having a huge bungalow with several rooms, 10, 20 rooms sometimes, and he's living alone there with no children. Do you think he'll be happy? You know, when there are 3-4 children running here and there in the home and playing, parents feel very happy. In fact, that is considered the wealth of home. The wealth of home is considered the children. But the father without children, he feels very morose, just like Chitrakit was morose with no children. In the same manner, the Lord also, without his devotee's company, although he is called as Atmaram, he is Sachidananda, he cannot be happy in the spiritual world. So he needs his devotee's cooperation to give him enjoyment and to give him bliss. Although the Lord is actually ever blissful. So this is actually one of the decorations of Lord's qualities, that the Lord needs his devotees for his happiness. So because of that, the Lord wants to reciprocate this devotee and bring the devotee back to his kingdom, back to his lotus feet, so that the Lord can enjoy his company. We can easily understand why the Lord should be wanting to enjoy the company of a devotee. Because the devotee does not seek any favor from the Lord in the time. Like you can see, even the post of Indra, post of Brahma, even the apavarga liberation, a devotee does not want. A devotee just wants to serve Krishna in all circumstances, even in heaven or hell. He seeks only to serve the Lord. So these qualities of the devotee very much touch the Lord's heart. That is the reason the Lord accepts the devotee to be like his own child. And Lord becomes very disturbed when somebody causes any inconvenience to his devotee. In fact, the Lord considers the worship of the devotee to be greater than his own worship because of that. So, such devotees actually remember the Lord constantly. This we can keep it in the highest pedestal in our altar of our heart, that a day should come when I can think of the Lord constantly, at every moment, without any other distraction. In our conditioned state, we think about the belly, we think about the inconvenience of the body in tamaguna, isn't it? And in rajaguna, the hankering and lamentation in our heart becomes very, very prominent. But when one ascends beyond those stages, one comes to a point where one can think of the Lord like this. So there are many stages below this. If we cannot think of the Lord constantly like this, there are many stages below this which Krishna will explain in the subsequent verses. It's very easy to say that one should always be thinking of the Lord like this. But how are we going to attain that stage? We don't have such a love for Krishna. But we can see such examples in the scriptures when we read of great devotees. We have heard many times about the gopis, how they remembered Krishna. Or many great personalities like Akrura, how they remember Krishna, how Kunti remember Krishna. So I said two things, that the devotee should be affectionately serving Krishna. And such devotees should also have attachment for Krishna. And we can see this when the devotees serve him. One time, when Lord Krishna was, actually Sukadeva Goswami was narrating a pastime about how Subhadra was kidnapped by Arjuna. Parikshit was hearing it. But then Parikshit was again and again iterating that please kindly tell me more about Krishna's pastimes. He wanted to hear about Krishna directly. So keeping that in mind, Sukadeva Goswami thought that let me tell something about some pure devotees who directly reciprocated loving affection with Krishna. Keeping that in mind, Sukadeva Goswami spoke this wonderful pastime. Once when Krishna was going on a journey with many, many great sages like Narada, Vyasadev, Atri, Chavanamuni and many others. So on the way he came to Mithila, to the Nagar of Mithila. And in the Mithila, all the people of Mithila city, they came out to take the beautiful darshan of the Lord. It appeared as if, you know, the moon is surrounded by the celestials, by the stars. The Lord looked very beautiful. So amongst them were the two great personalities, Shrutadeva and Bahulashva, who were very, very great pure devotees of Krishna. They both came to greet him and receive him. And they invited Lord Krishna to come to their homes. Shrutadeva was a very, very poor Brahmin. And Bahulashva was a very wealthy king. And they both were pure devotees of Krishna. And Lord could not refuse their request. And he promised both of them that we all will come to both your places. And they wanted to immediately take the Lord to their homes. So Lord actually expanded into two forms, and he made his devotees also expand into two forms. This is called as Vaibhava Prakash. Vaibhava Prakash means Lord expanding into many forms. Like he expanded into 16,108 forms in each of the wives of Dwaraka. In their palaces Lord expanded. Or like when Krishna expands into hundreds and thousands of forms of covered boys and calves in the Brahma Mohan Leela we hear. And the dance also Lord expands into many forms. So Lord can expand very easily whenever he wants. So Lord expanded into two forms and he went to these respective places. So he goes to the palace of Bahulashwa to meet him. And in a befitting manner, Bahulashwa received him with soft cushioned beds and chairs to sit nicely. And he brought all the gold and silver vessels and everything to wash the lotus feet of Krishna, and he sprinkled the water on all the family members' heads. And he also offered sandalwood pulp, he offered garlands, he offered garments, he offered different jewelry for the Lord's body as well as for the bodies of all the sages and saints. And he offered incense and agarbatti lamp and flowers, and he offered a delicious preparation, feast, a big feast for all. And they all had the feast, and they were all very satisfied. And then after they all completed their lunch, then he brought all his family members, and in front of all of them he picked up the Lord's feet and kept it on his lap and started massaging the Lord's feet. And with great affection, looking at the Lord's face, he started glorifying the Lord. He said, "My dear Lord, you are the super soul seated in the heart of everyone, and you are constantly watching the activities of all the living entities, although the living entities do not know that truth." In fact, he said, "People of this world are so foolish. I really wonder how they can be so demoniac and so atheistic, not understanding your kindness. You have, just as you have come to my house today, you always are very merciful to all the living entities. In fact, you have spoken in the scriptures that your devotees are more dear to you than even Balaram or Goddess of Fortune Lakshmi, or even your first created living being, your first son Brahma. And those of your devotees are more dear to you than even these personalities. And that you have already shown by coming to my palace today." And in this way, Bahulashwa glorified the Lord in various wonderful ways. In fact, at last he demanded the Lord that, "I cannot see you moving out right today. Please kindly, with all your associates, please stay back for many, many days to come, and allow us the opportunity to serve you." The Lord could not refuse his devotee's plea, request. Lord said, "Okay, I will stay back." And he stayed many, many days after that. At the same time, the Lord also went to the house of Shutadev. And what did Shutadev have? He didn't have dancing girls to make beautiful dance. He didn't have professional reciters to sing the praise of the Lord. And he didn't have cushion beds and cushion sofas to make the Lord sit. He didn't have anything. In fact, he wanted to greet the Lord in a fitting manner. So when he saw the Lord and his associate sages walking towards his home, he picked up a towel in his hand and started waving it up above and dancing himself. So he himself became a dancer. Seeing that, the Lord became very pleased. So he welcomed the Lord inside his home, and he put wooden planks. Any of you have wooden planks in your home? Nowadays nobody has anything, is it? Even in our days we used to have. Even I was in my 6th day standard, we used to have wooden planks in our home in which we used to sit, isn't it? While taking prasadam, we sit on that and take a thing, right? We accept asana. Pot, you call it? Yeah. Isn't it? So he put pot for the Lord to sit. That's what he put for all of them, Lord and all the sages. That's what he had. And he had some straw mattresses for them to sit comfortably. And he brought some rose-scented waters, he brought some lotus, he brought some tulasi leaves, some kusha grass, which are all natural items which can be acquired from anywhere without paying any money. He got all of them in entering service to Lord. He showed incense stick to Lord and made them all sit comfortably. And they offered very simple foods, just some rice and dal. That's all they could offer. And the Lord very happily accepted that, because it was offered with very great love and devotion. And while offering this rice and dal, simple foods, and when the Lord was eating, Shudradev sat at a distance and was watching the Lord. And in his own mind he was thinking that, what good fortune did I do that Lord has come to my house with all his great devotees. I am fallen in this deep dark well of household life, and I am attached to the worldly activities. But this Lord is so kind that he has chosen to come to my house. How magnanimous he is. Thinking in this manner, tears welled up his eyes. Anchitadeva was serving very blissfully. And after the Lord accepted the prasadam happily, then Chitadev again, just like Bahulashva, he picked up the Lord's feet and kept on his laps and started massaging. And he also started glorifying the Lord. He said also something similar. My dear Lord, you are seated in everyone's heart as super soul and you are the witness in the heart of everyone. And he said the foolish living entities are simply dreaming in this world. Sometimes they become a king, sometimes a poverty-stricken and beggar. But they do not know actually that you are the ultimate goal of life. In fact, he said one interesting thing. He said, only your devotees can know that you are seated in their hearts. Non-devotees cannot know. Non-devotees think that they are their bodies. So they cannot know that Lord is seated in their hearts. But your devotees know that you are seated in their hearts. How? Because of the dictation they get from you time to time regularly. Because you dictate your devotees where to go, what to do, how to get closer to you. Dadami buddhi yogam tam yena mam api yantite. You give them the direction to come closer and closer to you. And in this way, you pull your devotees towards you. Witnessing this, the devotees can easily know that you are seated in their hearts. And in this way, seeing your direction and becoming more and more attached to you, the devotees' hearts become very soft in great devotion to you in this manner. So you are extremely magnanimous, very, very great in attracting your devotees. In this way, Shatadev to glorify the Lord in various wonderful ways. So we find these two great devotees, Shatadev and Bahulashva, how much love they had for the Lord and how much affection they showered on him, and the Lord also went to reciprocate love for his devotees. In fact, there is nothing great in life to do other than achieving this platform of love for the Lord. Even in the spiritual world, there is nothing beyond this. Love of the devotee for the Lord and the service rendered by the devotee with great affection and attachment for the Lord is the last word in transcendence. There is nothing beyond this. This is the highest thing. So that love for the Lord actually can be manifested as love for devotees in our stage. Because now we don't have attraction for Krishna. But we can. Like recently I was in Vyas Puja celebration in Bombay. I was really stunned. I was sitting and hearing. I felt ashamed when my name was called. Then I had written some poem to go and speak out that poem. Because before me, all the people who spoke the Vyas Puja offerings, it was such a heart-rending offering. Many of you might have been there. These offerings are at the platform of pure, innocent hearts offering their love. So they had chosen many, many devotees who have such heart. Many advanced devotees they had chosen. Many devotees who are very intimate with Raghunath Swami Maharaj and who are faithfully, loyally serving him for several years. So when they came and spoke up, so I felt, you know, I have to beg some devotion from them. They spoke like that so wonderfully. So some of them, we found how much attachment they had for the spiritual master. Like one devotee was telling Maharaj that, Maharaj, when April, May comes, you know, we feel so bad, you know. Oh, when will June, July, August come? When April, May comes, I feel blissful because I get holidays. You know, because we don't have any college preaching, we can do some studies that time. So, this never struck in my mind that in April, May, June, you know, I will be missing my spiritual master, he will be going abroad, you know. We generally think that every year he has to go anyway, you know. He goes abroad. So, we can understand how much affection one can have for the spiritual master, like that. So, if we cannot experience affection for Krishna like that at our stage. But one can develop affection for such great personalities. In fact, such our devotion, such affection for great personality can really elevate us. So when I sang my poem, after I came back, so one devotee was sitting next to me and you know, he gave a pat on my back. And he repeated this last line I had written two, three times. I had written, "Oh glorious spiritual master, the abode of all, the abode of I had written something to the effect of the abode of all virtues." I had written. So he said, this is the best part of your poem, he said, the abode of all virtues. We cannot call him with any other name. This is the best fitting name for him, he said, the abode of all virtues. So I understood that the devotees are actually in a very elevated platform. They may not seem so externally, but if you take a second look, you will understand that some people have developed such affection for Vaishnavas. So externally, one may be doing the profession of a doctor or an engineer or a teacher or a, you know, housewife or something. But internally, the mind should be made fertile, softened, tender, to develop such affection for great Vaishnavas and ultimately to Krishna. That is actually the real platform. That kind of affection should come. In fact, about Shrutadeva, it is explained, Shrutadeva was such a first-class devotee that he lived a very, very simple household life. He was quite poverty-stricken, but he never cared about it. He never worked very hard to accumulate wealth, nor did he worry about his destiny that has put him in such a poverty-stricken condition. And it is said his mind was fully devoted to Krishna. And he was always serving Krishna at all points of time. In fact, his mind could never be taken away from Krishna at any time. It is explained like that. Whether he was serving Krishna directly or when Krishna was not present in front of him, he was constantly absorbed in remembrance of Krishna. So this was the platform of Shrutadeva. So that is the platform Krishna is speaking here. Mayeva mana adatsva. Think of me constantly. We can think of someone constantly if we love them. Then it is possible. Like, you know, when we are growing children, we think of mother and father very strongly. Because for a child, there is no one in this world more dearer than the mother. Probably mother is more dear than the father also. Because mother is a nourisher. Father is generally a protector. Mother nourishes the child with love. And the child is born by the side of the mother, always has been drinking the milk from mother's breast. So generally the children become more attached to mother, sometimes more than the father. So we generally think of the mother and father most often in our minds, because we have developed attachment for them. So if we have affection and attachment, these two things, we can very easily think of anyone. There is no difficulty. Like, you know, if a boy has attachment for a girl, you know, he keeps thinking about her or he keeps photograph of memories, different things like that. Or he keeps writing the name and watching it, isn't it? Because there's attachment. Isn't it? Yeah. Isn't it? There's attachment. Driven by the attachment. And you will see that with Krishna's devotees. Krishna's devotees, when they see, you know, different aspects of Krishna, they become very captivated by that. Yeah. When they see Krishna's deity. Anything related to Krishna immediately puts a hook on them and pulls them. Like that. That is why the Rupa Goswami example is very appropriate. I don't think there can be a better example than this. When a devotee's mind is attached, what else can a devotee think other than Krishna in the mind? So, there is a famous poetry by Madhavendra Puri, you know, about Madhavendra Puri. How let the sharp moralist accuse me as a fool. Let the... anybody knows the verse?
उन्मत्तम धनिनो विवेक चतुरा कामं महादाम्बिकं मोक्तुं न क्षमते मत क्षमते मनागपि मनो गोविंद पाद स्पृहम् Maam Nikadantu Niti Nipuna, all the Niti Nipuna, all the moralists, sharp moralists, accuse me, Mukda Maam Niti Nikadantu Niti Nipuna, Brantam Muhuru Vaidika, all the followers of Vedas, they will say that you are mad, Brantam Muhuru Vaidika, Mandam Bandhava Sanjayat Jadadiyat, Mandam Bandhava, Bandhava means all the relatives and my brethren. They will consider me as dumb, mandam, bandhava, sanchaya, jadadiyat, muktadara, sodara, and I don't know about this, muktadara, unmattam, dhanino, viveka, chatura, all the rich people or high status quo people, they will think that you are exaggerating things. Exactly, I don't know. Mukta dara, sodara, unmattam dhanino vivek chatura, kamam cha mahadambhikam. Dambhikam. Dambha means proud. Mahadambhikam. Moktum na kshamate mana agapi mana. But despite of all these acquisitions made by all the classes of the society, moktum na kshamate mana gapi mano, but O Govinda, I cannot take you out of my mind. Moktum na kshamate mana gapi mano, Govinda padaspraha. I cannot take my mind out of the lotus feet, padaspraha of the Lord.
He said, isn't it? Let the sharp marlis accuse me of being a fool. Let the Vedic scholars call me that I am illusioned. Let all the, like that he is talking about different people. Because those who are marvelous, they will say that this fellow has gone crazy. This fellow all the time Krishna Krishna. The Vedic scholars sometimes misunderstand devotees. Niti Nipuna and all those different people. So he is talking of 5-6 different people. How? Let all the different people of the world say anything about me. And although Krishna, it is very difficult for me to achieve you, still my determination to think of you cannot be stopped. I always think of you at all times. So he's praying like this. So this is the condition of a devotee. He helplessly thinks of Krishna. His mind helplessly flows towards Krishna. This prayer is actually made by Kunti also. She says, Tvayi me ananya vishaya matir madupate sakrit Satimudvahatat adha gangeva ughambudanvati. As the Ganges flows towards the ocean, despite all the hurdles and obstacles in between, logs of wood lying and the stones lying in between, she flows this way and that way and at last reaches the ocean. In the same manner, let my mind always flow towards you, Krishna. Like that she is praying. So this is actually the prayer of a pure devotee. Pure devotees are busy keeping their minds absorbed in thoughts of Krishna. Anybody who can keep their mind fixed in Krishna like this is assured of their ticket back to Godhead. Because their mind has become totally surcharged with Krishna thoughts, Krishna remembrance. And these are the things going on in the spiritual world. One thinks of Krishna like that. So naturally one returns to the spiritual world to engage in Krishna service directly. That one gets a good fortune. And what to do if one cannot think of Krishna like this, always? That we'll be studying in the next verse. We can read one more verse. Text number 9. Atat chittam samadhatum nashaknoshi mayisthiram abhyasayogena tato mamichhaptum dhananjaya. My dear Arjuna, O winner of wealth, if you cannot fix your mind upon me without deviation, then follow the regulative principles of bhakti yoga. In this way, develop a desire to attain me. So both the previous verse and this verse are talking about the mind, or the antahkaran. The previous verse are speaking about absorption in bhakti in the perfected stage. Whereas this verse is talking about absorption in bhakti in the practice stage. That's the difference. Here Krishna is telling that Arjuna may worry that the mind has to be completely fixed. Somebody may feel that, it is so difficult to fix the mind on Krishna completely. It may find difficult. So Krishna uses the word dhananjaya here. Because the meaning dhananjaya means you have conquered so many enemies to accumulate wealth and bring it for the sake of your brother. Now, not only you have to conquer your enemies, the biggest of your enemy is your mind. So Arjuna, learn to conquer that mind also and fix it upon me. Like that he says. Atachittam, samadhatum. So samadhatum, the samadhi is to fix the mind. In Upadeshamrita we will study about different dashas, Shravana dasa, Varana dasa and all. Similarly, Smriti, Anusmriti, different levels of Smriti is explained. Different people are able to think of a pinpointed remembrance of the Lord for different extent of time. Like we can see in chanting also, we can chant one mantra and second mantra mind wanders away. Some people may be able to chant 2, 3, 4 mantras and fifth mantra the mind wanders away. So different people have problems. Some people, they cannot even complete one mantra. Between one word and next word the mind wanders. Like that. So samadhi means it's very advanced stage. I have been telling about this before also. 25 minutes, 28 seconds one has to continuously hear Hare Krishna. That means, that is samadhi. 12 seconds if you hear continuously, that is called as dharana. And 12 into 12, 144 seconds, that is dhyana. And 12 into 12 into 12, that comes totally 25 minutes, 28 seconds. That is samadhi actually. That means if one is in samadhi, one can continuously think of Krishna. Hearing Krishna's names is considered to be equivalent to thinking of Krishna actually. If one is hearing Krishna's names attentively and in a proper attitude, then one is actually absorbed in samadhi, remembrance of Krishna. So if one is not able to think of Krishna like that at every moment of the day, why is it difficult? We all know that our mind finds something else more tasty than Krishna. That is our misfortune. Mind finds many worldly engagements to be more appreciable than engagement in Krishna consciousness or remembering Krishna, like that. So here Krishna is giving a clue what is to be done. Abhyasa yogena tatho mamichaptum dhananjaya. He is saying that you do this vaidhi sadhana bhakti, like you know, chant every day, like we chant 16 rounds and following the 64 regulative principles. You know, there are 64 principles given by Rupa Goswami, which are all given in Nectar of Devotion. And we follow the, other than that, we follow the 4 regulative principles also. And if one lives a life like that, practicing, like you can refer to the last part of the purport. In this purport, if you see, last paragraph. To practice the regulative principles of Bhakti Yoga, one should, under the guidance of an expert spiritual master, follow certain principles. One should rise early in the morning, take bath, enter the temple and offer prayers and chant Hare Krishna, then collect flowers to offer to the deity. Or you can buy from the market also. We don't have garden and all. Many times. Cook foodstuffs to offer to the deity. Take prasadam and so on. There are various rules and regulations which one should follow. And one should constantly hear Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam from pure devotees. This practice can help anyone rise to the level of love of God. And then he is sure of his progress into the spiritual kingdom of God. This practice of Bhakti Yoga under the rules and regulations with the direction of a spiritual master will surely bring one to the stage of love of God. Adau Guru Pada Ashray, that is the first one. One should take shelter of a spiritual master. And then, Sat Dharma Pritcha, one should ask questions about spiritual life to the spiritual master. Then Vishrambhena Guru Seva. Then one should intimately render service to the spiritual master by offering different type of services to him and following his vani, his instructions properly, and by rendering seva to him. Like that there are 64 principles. These three are the prominent that Rupa Goswami says very important for a devotee. So when we take shelter of a spiritual master, then he teaches all these principles. You see, either you already have love for Krishna and you are thinking of him always, or in this text number 9, Krishna tells, if you are not in that stage, then one step below that is, how to develop that love, he says. Just like, for example, if you, like when we hit a target, instead of hitting it at the center, sometimes we are keeping hitting at the surroundings. Like aeroplane, for example. Sometimes before getting down, if it is very crowded and the airport is very crowded, or if it is foggy or whatever, what the aeroplane does? It keeps hovering in many, many places for some time. And then when the opportunity comes, it lands. So Mahanidhi Swami gives this example in that Art of Chanting Hare Krishna book. Beautiful example. He says, if the aeroplane is not able to land immediately, the facility is not there, then what it can do? it can keep hovering over the area for some time, and when there is opportunity, then it can land. Similarly, if you tell, imagine that all of us are told today that you have to think of Krishna constantly, forget about everything else. Do you think it's possible? Even if we try, it will become too much for us and we will run away. Isn't it? It is impossible. People think this is too much a demand. So that is why it is said, okay, you cannot do that, it is difficult. So there is another facility to hover around the goal. What is it? Okay, you now know whom you are supposed to love. So put that person on the altar and worship that person by rising early in the morning, bathing the deity, dressing the deity, bowing down before him, singing his glories, studying about him from Srimad Bhagavatam, studying about his instructions from Bhagavad Gita, and rendering seva, cooking for him, keeping the house clean for him. By doing all these things for that one Supreme Purusha, Supreme Lord, gradually our understanding of the Lord and the affection for the Lord and ultimately attachment to the Lord will happen. You can see that. Actually, understanding certainly helps us develop affection. We can't deny that. Because any action performed with knowledge purifies our heart. So, developing understanding by studying the scriptures, it helps us to develop attraction for the Lord. That attraction turns into affection and finally attachment to the Lord. So, abhyasa yogena tato mamichhaptum dhananjaya. Have a desire to attain me, he says. So that means what he indirectly tells is, be fixed in your goal. Like, you cannot lit fire and put water also. If you keep litting fire and putting water, that doesn't make any sense. You are not growing fire. Similarly, if you really want to achieve Krishna, then we have to do it in a very serious spirit. That's why that verse, Tivrena Bhakti Yogena Yajeta Purusham Param. It should be performed with Tivrata, with seriousness. Then only one can attain attachment to Krishna. It is not a very casual thing. Spiritual life is not a very casual thing. It should be taken very seriously. Like, when we rise early in the morning, especially nowadays, isn't it? It's pretty cold in the morning. You wake up and see the whole world is asleep. You feel, why only me? Isn't it? You can tend to think like that. But it requires a bit of sacrifice. I don't say you should not use gazer. But still, you should be able to rise early in the morning. Whether it is winter, whatever period. Rising early in the morning, taking a bath, and sitting in front of the Lord and trying to chant attentively, nicely. Because morning chanting is very good. The Brahma Muhurta period, rendering service to the Lord. So we can perform devotion service in different levels. Even this Abhyasa Yoga, we can have, from bottom to top, we can have different levels. Somebody is carrying a bead bag and driving the car and chanting Hare Krishna. We can chant like that, isn't it? Or while watching a TV, completing the rounds, or talking to a guest, or having a mobile in between talking and completing rounds. People do like that. That is one level. Or otherwise having puja room, separate puja room, a little lamp in front of the Lord, deities are beautifully shining like dazzling gold, sit in front of the Lord and completely absorb yourself, keep the phone lying down, everything completely, and you get the flowers, offer the flowers to the Lord, bathe him, dress him, bow down to him, and with full devotion chant the names. So it's up to us how we want to perform. It is up to you how soon you want to develop attachment for the Lord. Some people think it's not so urgent. Anyway, fortunately there is reincarnation in this world. It's not a one-time affair. If you are serious about it, then you have to take this business very seriously, devotion service. Then we can very soon. Many places the Shastras say, Nachirat, isn't it? Bhavani, Nachirat, Parthamaya, Veshita, Chetsam. There's one more verse it says, Nachirat. Somewhere in Bhagavatam also. Is it Kunti's verse? Shinvanti Gayanti, Rinanti Vikshnashaka, Smaranti Nandanti, Tavehitam Jana, Tayeva Pashyanta Chire Natavakam, Bhava Prabhaho, Uparamam Padambujam. That's what she's saying. Such devotees, Shrinmanti, Gayanti, Grinanti, Avikshnashaha, continuously, those who Shrinmanti, those who hear about you, Gayanti, who speak about you, sing about you, Grinanti, who take your holy name continuously, Smaranti, those who always relish thinking of you and your wonderful pastimes, Nandanti, those who become greatly joyful seeing others becoming devotees, taking to devotional service. Tava hitam janaha, your devotees. For such devotees, what happens? She says, Pashyanti, very soon they will behold your beautiful form. Achirena tavakam. It doesn't take much time. Very quickly they see you, my dear Lord, in their lives. So this is Kunti's promise to all of us. Very soon such a devotee can behold the beautiful form of Krishna in his or her heart. So as Shrutadeva was telling, isn't it? Only such devotees can see that the Lord is in the heart. So we wonder, Shastras keep saying that Lord is in the heart. I don't see any Lord in the heart. Because we are bodily conscious. But when we become spiritually conscious and we get the dictation of the Lord to always live purely, to always do activities which help us to head towards them, then we can appreciate the Lord's reciprocation in our lives. Otherwise it may appear like a blind one-way alley, where we are going on doing things and there is no reciprocation, because we are bodily conscious. So in this way, Lord is so merciful that He is giving a second step, how to absorb our antahkaran, or the mind, in the Lord, by rendering service to Him. When you render service to someone, you certainly remember. Like when I was a new devotee, I had joined Chopari temple. So my service was to cut the fruits for the deities in the afternoon. So I had to wash the fruits and cut them and fill up the plates. And the Brahmana Pujari will come and he will take the plates and go inside, and offer to the Lord. And then he'll bring the plates out and I had to wash them again. So every day I used to do that service, and at the time we would be having this Prabhupada's cassette going on behind. Beautiful with the harmonium and kartals. It would be so absorbing. I would feel as if I'm floating in the sky. Cutting the fruits for the deities, hearing Prabhupada's wonderful song in the deity room, which is fragrant with ghee and things are scent sandalwood paste offered to Lord. It would be as if you are in a spiritual world. Very wonderful experience. So, what happens is when you, just as when you put yourself in fire, like the example of that rod in the fire, then it assumes the same qualities as the fire. Similarly, Lord appearing in the form of Archa Vigraha is one of the five expansions. Just like different expansions in the spiritual world, deities also, Archa is one of the five expansions of the Lord from the spiritual sky. It is non-different from the Lord Himself. So if you put yourself in vicinity of the Lord, then you will be forced to become pure when you serve Him, when you bathe the deities. Of course, the attitude is very important, because Prabhupada says in Upadeshamrita, the progress in Krishna consciousness depends on the attitude of the follower. That clearly Prabhupada says. Somebody may say, I also have a deity at home and I am also serving, but with what attitude we serve is very important. If you serve with that reverential, affectionate attitude, then we will make a very quick progress in Krishna consciousness. And we should, like that's why Bhagavan Saraswati says, some people have even Shaligram Shila, what to speak of a deity. Shaligram Shila worship is very difficult. You have to chant Purusha Suktam, Sri Suktam every day. It takes 2-3 hours to worship a Shaligram Shila. Nobody dares to keep Shaligram Shila nowadays. It's very difficult. You have to learn a lot of pujas. It is much more difficult than worshipping the regular deities. And worshipping Radha Krishna is more difficult than worshipping Gauranathai. You know that. So, somebody may have even a Shaligram Shila at home or in the temple, but then if somebody has no proper attitude and no one is around, somebody may take a Shaligram Shila to break a badam. Bhagavan Saraswati says that. Where is the attitude? This goes to show how a person who considers deity to be a stone is a fool. He won't get any tangible benefit, although he may maintain a temple of Shaligram Shila. For the sake of others, probably he may earn some hundi money, that's all. He won't earn any devotional service. Similarly, if you have deity, the vigraha can become galagraha, Prabhupada says. Galagraha means sometimes deity may become a burden. One may think, oh, I have to offer bhoga in time. Oh, I have to bathe once in a week or twice a week. I have to bathe the deities and put up new dress. Oh, such that day has come, Wednesday has come or Sunday has come, I have to do it. It can appear a burden when a devotee lacks attitude. But if you have right attitude, one will be eager to return back home and see the beautiful deities and render service to them. It's very, very important to have affection for the deities and to want to serve them. You will see the Goswami is carrying deity in the necks, hanging in the necks. Even today also you see some Goswamis, they carry like that. They always carry the deity in their hearts and they serve the Lord of their hearts, Pranadhan. So by serving the deities, one can actually develop affection for the Lord very soon. We have seen people who serve the deities very faithfully over a period of time develop attraction for the Lord. And they simply become satisfied in that. They just become, it becomes easy for them to avoid all distractions of the world. There are so many worldly distractions, they can just avoid them and just be blissfully chanting and dancing in the presence of the deity. That's why there's Abhyasa Yoga. Surrendering to a spiritual master and rendering service to the Lord in this manner. And you know the famous formula explained in Padma Puran, isn't it? Smartavyam satatam Vishnu Vismartavyam najatuchit. Then? Sarve vidinishedhasyur etayur evakinkaraha. Only there are two things given in all the scriptures. What is it? Smartavyam satatam Vishnu. Krishna is even the source of Vishnu. So Krishna should always be remembered and one should never forget Krishna. And all the other principles, rules, rituals, regulations and rites that we follow should be subservient to these top principles, two top principles. You can do ritual, no problem. You want to do Sri Suktam, Prishti Suktam, you can do. But remembrance of Krishna is the most essential thing. You can do every other necessary ritual and rites. But remembrance of Krishna is the ultimate principle. So, if one follows these regulative principles of Bhakti Yoga, then one can very soon expect to elevate oneself in the ladder of Bhakti and one can go higher and higher and higher. And one will eventually develop love for Krishna. That's why there is Vaidhi Bhakti, there is Raganuga Bhakti and Bhava Bhakti and Prema Bhakti. So, from Vaidhi, Vaidhi means the Vidhi, the rules and regulations which are explained here. By following that, we can come to Raganuga Bhakti. Raganuga means spontaneous love. Spontaneous love for Krishna. From Vaidhi Bhakti, we can come to the stage of spontaneous love. Just like in typewriting, you know, in the early days, if anybody has gone for typing, you will know A, S, D, F, G, F, semicolon, L, K, J, H, J, isn't it? You type like this, tuk, 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 one by one. You learn this row and the top row and bottom row one by one, and fingers get slipped out in between sometimes. And so many mistakes come. But then you learn for, you know, 6 months, 1 year, 2 years. Then sometimes people wonder, you are just, you know, it's like rain. Like that. Rain showering. And then you are able to type paragraphs, paragraph to paragraph, page after page. You can go up to even 120 words per minute. High speed. Isn't it? So that is spontaneous. In the beginning it is like Vaidhi. Later on to Draganuga. Like that. Initially you have to see, you know, where is A? You know, it's like that. But afterwards it's called blind touch. Just type like this. Raganuga is like that. Initially our devotion to Krishna, we have to remember, you know, four in the lotus feet and two in the navel, you know, three on the face. Oh, I think I did one more, you know. Sometimes you're like, isn't it? Always are the worry. So this is Vaidhi Bhakti. We are more focused in the number of rounds. But in Raganuga Bhakti, one actually offers with love. Everything, whether one offers a flower, one offers incense, one offers the ghee lamp, everything one offers with great love for the Lord. Lord also accepts it. So we can come to Raganuga stage if we continue practicing this faithfully, with great transcendental faith. One has to practice the regulative principles of Bhakti Yoga. We are in that stage, Vaidhi Bhakti stage. This is the stage in which we all are in. But here you will find the mind should be absorbed in bhakti, in the practice. That is very important. That is the key word you should remember. So when we continue in the next week with the next verse, we will be comparing the stage with the next stage. So the previous verse, text 8, talks about absorption in bhakti in the perfectional stage, whereas the text number 9 talks about absorption in bhakti in the practicing stage. So we are practicing to become perfect. So practice is actually the root till we become perfect. When we become perfect, we will offer flower in love to Krishna. But now we are offering as a rule. It's explained, Parikshit Maharaj, why did he hear Bhagavatam? What was the cause or impetus for him to hear Bhagavatam? Yes? Death, isn't it? The fear of death. Actually, it's taken from a very preliminary viewpoint. Prabhupada quotes this example in Upadesham, this Nectar Devotion. He says, Parikshit wanted to hear Bhagavatam because there was death facing him. So that was the impetus. Similarly, for all of us, why do we wake up in the morning and chant 16 rounds? Who can say? To fall in love with Krishna? Why? Then why do we chant? Yeah? That's the correct answer. We promised our spiritual master. Correct. That is our impetus for performing this activity. That is the proof that we are in Vaidhi Bhakti stage. But one day if you find yourself jumping from your bed and you want to go and see the deities of the Lord, you want to quickly take a bath and you're singing Krishna, Govinda, Rama, blissfully chanting, and you want to behold the beautiful form of the deity, that means you have come to Raganagara. Suddenly we are not in that stage. In our temple, even Brahmachari, we rush to the temple and put P, attendance we had to put. If you don't put P, then you have to write 108 times Mahamantra. So that is the impetus for our waking up. Isn't it? The morning. 1 minute, not even 1 minute, 5 seconds you come late after the third conch, you have to write Mahamantra 108 times. So everyone comes running, not out of love, out of fear. Isn't it? So that is Vaidhi, Vaidhi Bhakti stage. And Raghunaga Bhakti, Raghunaga, like you see Madhavendra Puri for example, he went to Remuna, isn't it? In Remuna he saw the beautiful deity of Gopinath. And then he had heard that they offer some Amrita Keli to Gopinath. So he was very curious. How these people prepare? I heard that it is very famous. I want to cook for my deity. Out of pure love he was thinking that I want to make a similar preparation for my deity also. He thought like that. So that is actually pure love. Offering in pure love is very, very special. So we should aspire to offer in pure love. So even when they give the flowers in our hand every day to offer, We can of course mechanically rotate it 100 times, rotate it and put it in the plate like that. But every day we should make a special effort to consciously offer that flower. When you offer in the morning anything we do, we should try to consciously do it. We can offer prayers mentally. See, we are actually in the process of preparing our mind. That we should always remember. Currently our mind is not so devotional. Our mind is quite materialistic. That is very obvious from the way we talk with others, from the way we deal with people in the world. Because it's very easy to be materialistic in this world. To talk about materialistic things. But to talk spiritually is very difficult. You all have the experience? To keep Krishna conscious talk, how difficult it is. One day you try it. Morning you make up your mind. Today morning to night I am going to speak Krishna consciously. Very difficult. So that means you have to endeavor. You have to endeavor how I can speak Krishna consciously, how I can act Krishna consciously. So if you know that I am actually preparing my mind to go from Vaidhi to Raghunaga stage, then every day is a day mercifully offered by the Lord for preparation. So every moment, every minute, every hour, every day should be considered as a valuable time offered to us to prepare our mind to become more Krishna conscious. So if I am given a flower to offer to Lord, it's a great mercy. Somebody has given me a flower, now I can offer to Krishna. Patram Pushpam Param Swami Lord says, but I don't have love, what to do? So we can pray to Lord, oh Lord, you are a Prem Ke Pujari, but I don't have any Prem. I am a beggar. So although I don't have any love, you are still allowing me to offer to you. How great you are. Please kindly accept with whatever little devotion I have. So if you pray like that and offer, then it will make some sense. Otherwise you can mechanically, like a robot, can do and put it. Every activity, whether it is chanting or dancing or speaking or attending class or doing some form of devotion service. Actually we should do it very consciously. Even cooking, like Mataji cook every day. And you eat prasadam. It can become mechanical over a period of time. If you are not trying to be conscious. You know this? How a man was building a wall. Somebody asked him, what are you doing? He said, don't you see I am building a wall? He said. Another person was building. One person asked him, what are you doing? He said, I am building some kind of house, room. He said. And the third man, he asked, what are you doing? He said, I am making a temple for the Lord. He said. So they were all masons. You know, putting bricks one above the other, putting cement and doing some kind of construction. But the third man was consciously doing that he is building a temple for the Lord. Actually, even the first person was building the temple, but he was not conscious of it. Similarly, we all are performing devotional service. Some of us are conscious, some of us are more conscious, some of us are very conscious, and some are having no consciousness. Practically dead consciousness. So if we want to actually elevate ourselves, then on an everyday basis we should commit and recommit ourselves and try to prepare our mind to make it more and more devotional, a more and more devotional offering to Krishna. That's why these two verses, 8 and 9, they both talk about offering service in the platform of mind. Of course you may say, now are we not using our karmendriyas like hands and legs and everything? So how can you say only mind is involved? Of course, externally you are using the senses. But actually the mind is involved in this. Because you are offering to the Lord. And the mind has to be invested in the Lord. That's very important. We have to be conscious that I am offering to Krishna. Like you are going to market to buy sabji. You should buy good quality sabji. You know, if you are buying, lady's finger. If there are worms in that, you have to throw it away. You have to get a good quality, fresh one. If you are getting aloo, you know, it should not be too muddy. It should be good quality. If you have to put little extra money, you can buy a better quality one. Why? Not because I want to be hygienic. That means it's not Krishna conscious. If our hygiene is of prime importance, then it is like, you know, some people I ask, I do Nirjal Ekadashi. Why? To clean my system. Finished. If you want to keep Ekadashi for cleaning your system, that is not a Krishna conscious thing. But if you are doing Ekadashi, fasting for Lord's pleasure, then it is devotional service. Similarly, every activity we do, we should try to do it very consciously. Abhyasa yogena tato. Along with that, mam icchaptum dhananjaya. That is very important. Icha means desire. Apta means to get. That means, he says here, follow the regulative principles of bhakti yoga. In this way, develop a desire to attain me. That is very important. That means, performing Krishna consciousness with a longing to meet Krishna. That is the stage. That is very important. Then only we will progress. In chanting also, chanting Hare Krishna with a longing to chant the holy names purely. That is Namabhas. And chanting Hare Krishna mindlessly. That is Namaparad. Aparadana means just Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 finished. That is Aparadana. But chanting Hare Krishna with a longing to one day chant purely. The second verse of Shikshashtaka says that. Nam nam akari bahuda nija sarva shakti tatrarpita niyamita smaranena kalah heta drushi tava krupa bhagavan mamapi durdaiva medrusham iha janina anuragah. Oh my dear Lord, in every one of your names like Krishna, Govinda and all these names, you have invested your transcendental potencies. And there are no hard and fast rules for chanting these names. You can chant it at any time, any place, anywhere. But I am so unfortunate that I have no attraction for chanting these names. What a great fool am I. So this is actually a regret or a sincere prayer of a devotee. In this way, when we chant the holy names, if we regret that your holy names are Chintamani. They have the potency to transform the hearts of even a very degraded person. But I am so foolish that I am not taking these names very seriously. I am just mindlessly chanting. Please help me to attentively hear them. Please help me to absorb in the holy name. Then we can go to Namabhas. That's why he says we should have a desire to attain him. That's very important. Sometimes people will join ISKCON, they come into the society of devotees. For various reasons people come, we all know that. Somebody likes prasad, somebody likes music, somebody likes intellectual discussion. somebody likes Sanskrit stoka recitation, you know, somebody is having depression problem, so they get love and care, so they think it's wonderful, isn't it? So people come for various reasons. Somebody comes to improve their communication skills. You can speak better English if you go to these classes. Somebody comes for Satyadi Mataji is saying. Isn't it? So different people come for different reasons to the class. So after some time of staying in devotional service, we can take a look at our hearts and check, do I ever have a longing to attain the spiritual world? Do I have a longing to meet Krishna? Do I want to be his devotee and serve him? Sometimes you wonder, probably I don't have any such desire. Isn't it? So we can ask a question to ourselves. So if you don't have a desire, then we should desire to get that desire. Krishna, I am such a rascal, I don't have that desire. I have actually come to cheat you. But although I am such a cheater, please, have mercy on me. And please give me the desire to serve you. We can actually desire like that. Mamichhaptam dhananjaya. So if you have a longing. So these two verses are enough for today. Next time when we discuss 10, we will understand the clear-cut difference between 9 and 10. The next lower stage than this. Hare Krishna. See, in sadhana bhakti there are two categories, Vaidhi and Raganuga. So sadhana bhakti, bhava bhakti, prem bhakti, only three stages are there. Sadhana, bhava, prem. In sadhana there are two, Vaidhi and Raganuga. Vaidhi means following the regulative principles for the sake of upliftment, and then in Raganuga it becomes spontaneous over a period of time. Bhava is even much, much more advanced stage than spontaneous love. Because beyond the stage of asakti, which is Raganuga stage, you will find that ruchi, asakti, bhava, prema, there are finer and finer differences between them. You can understand. For example, in the stage of ruchi, one develops a great nectarian taste for chanting the Lord's name, reciting the scriptures like Bhagavatam, and one becomes almost offenseless in the stage of ruchi. Simply by seeing assembly of devotees, one thinks, oh Vaishnavas, please bestow your mercy upon me, I am a fallen soul. And by simply sitting with all of you and conversing about the Lord, I will become a pure devotee one day. And if somebody is carrying a book, you think, oh my dear devotee, you must be carrying the crest jewel of all scriptures, the Srimad Bhagavatam in your hands. Please kindly open it and recite a verse from that for me. My ears are like Chataka Pakshi to hear the glories of the Lord. So one has a very, very nice attitude in the stage of ruchi. But in the stage of asakti, one goes even beyond ruchi stage, where mind actually flows towards Krishna like madly. In asakti stage, it is the difference between ruchi and asakti is explained. In the stage of ruchi, our mind focuses on the bhajan and devotional service. Whereas in asakti, the mind focuses on the form of Krishna. That is the difference between the two. That means it becomes even more focused on the personality of Krishna in the asakti stage. When one goes to bhava stage, it is even higher than that. In asakti stage, one thinks of the form of Krishna constantly and in various ways. And bhava and prema stages, actually one comes to the platform of feeling intense separation from Krishna and seeing Krishna also. In asakti stage, Krishna appears and disappears, But in bhava stage, one is able to see Krishna, and there are many further stages explained. In the stage of bhava, the rasas begin, the mellows begin from there. One is able to revive one's swarupa. One is able to realize that I am a friend of the Lord, I am a lover of the Lord, I am in parental mood, and one starts serving like that in bhava, which is not in asakti. And in prema stage, not only devotee serves the Lord reciprocates also. When the devotee is serving the Lord like that, then the Lord speaks to the devotee, and the devotee can clearly hear his voice, and the devotee can see his form, the devotee can hear his flute, the devotee can perceive his touch. So all those stages happen in the prema stage like that. So if you find the intensity, just like the sugar, sugar candy, if you see, if you keep on heating, it becomes candy and rock candy like that. Prema, love also becomes thicker and thicker and thicker in these stages as you go ahead. Actually, all of them actually have to be done using the mind. Even the prema stage also, the mind is totally absorbed. Even the first two verses, the 8 and 9 which you are reciting today, both are actually consciousness. In the level of consciousness you are supposed to do. Next verse, 10th verse will be with the body. We are doing with the body, but we don't have the consciousness. We will understand that more next time. Yeah. But here in both the places, antakaran is involved, mind is involved. So that means abhyasa yogena tato vamichatvam should be done with body and mind, both. Yeah. Because if we don't sacrifice our consciousness, then our advancement is very slow. It is something like ajnat sukriti. You know, we are doing service, but we are not advancing so much. We are moving at a snail's pace, slowly, slowly like that. Yeah. He's asking, when we institutionalize bhakti, do we start focusing more on the results and the externals rather than on the internals? Is it because of that? Yeah, when you institutionalize bhakti, we may be working for an institution, but at the same time, we can always capture the essence and not just the external form. See, for example, I'm working in ISKCON now, so I have to wear brahmachari dress like this, you know. You have to wear a kurta and dhoti like this, this particular color, I have to shave up. For preaching, we have to remain clean. So if I were not here, if I am a Babaji in Vrindavan, probably I would grow a long beard, you know, long matted hair, to be chanting. Those are external forms, you know. But internally, what our institution teaches us is the same as what we would be learning otherwise from the scriptures, from authorized gurus. It's the same thing. So, over a period of time, we should learn to capture the essence, saragrahi, as we say, no? In anything. If you don't become saragrahi, then what would happen? Like if an American devotee comes, we may think he's an American devotee. You know, I don't like his singing. Now his singing is a little bit tainted with his Western style. Now we may think, you know, I like, you know, classical music more. This devotee. So, because we capture not the essence, but the external things like that. Similarly, sometimes we think, you know, that devotee is a little more scholarly, you know, in presentation, and this devotee is too simple, you know. So that is also catching the externals. So if you are capturing the essence, you will be looking only for bhakti. So our society is a result-oriented society, as you said, that we want to expand more, preach more, and get more devotees. It's naturally true. So we have to keep this balance, and this is a question for many devotees, you know. How to keep the balance, and how can we, you know, do inner development on one hand, at the same time we can preach also, you know, to others. See, we want to expand, we want to help others, but sometimes we feel that in the name of helping inner development, you really grasp some substance in spiritual life. You will see that. Like you take out time and read Bhagavatam, or you chant more round Shani Ekadashi day, or you perform some tapasya, you know, on special days, then you really experience capturing some substance in life. And you feel a deep satisfaction. And people who associate with you, they will also feel deep satisfaction by that. On the other hand, when you go out all through the name of preaching, preaching, expanding, expanding, one can feel a kind of vacuum. One can feel some emptiness of heart. And one finds oneself driven by passion and ignorance of this world. Because we are living in material world, we can become tainted by passion and ignorance. So does that mean we should not preach? And Prabhupada wanted us to distribute books, you know. He wanted us to preach. So we have to preach, but not at the cost of, you know, losing our good consciousness. We have to kind of find a balance between the two. And also you will find, if you are too much of doing bhajan over a period of time, that can make us proud also. There are many people, you know, who feel very proud that I chanted so many rounds, you know, I have studied so much. I feel that, you know, it is something that keeps changing. Like sometimes I feel that now I have been, you know, all the time going out, traveling too much, now I want to sit and read. So I take out some time and read. After some time I feel that, oh, now it's too much. I have to do some preaching now. So we shuttle between the two, and how much is too much, how less is too less, you know. Keep finding out, keep balancing. Just like in a cycle, you know, cycle or driving a car, you know, you cannot just leave the thing. You have to keep balancing it, you know. Otherwise it will go out of control. I think in our life also, all of us are living in city, you know. Life becomes all the more difficult. You know? And there are so many obligations and so many demands of a devotee, you know, there are society obligations, there are relatives, there are family members, and there are devotional obligations, many, many things. And we have to focus on our physical health, mental health, spiritual health, and so many other people's lives are dependent on us, you know. So there is certainly a very, very great demand. I feel that we have to surely take out some time to look at ourselves. We cannot deny that. It's absolutely important thing. We have to do that exercise time to time. and see that we are actually steadily advancing in the spiritual path. How I do personally is, I extend myself only to the point when my mind doesn't get irritated. As soon as my mind becomes irritated, I stop my expanding there, not beyond that. Because if you expand beyond that, then if mind gets disturbed, then the whole thing is finished. Mind should be very peaceful. So Shuddhadeva's mind was very peaceful. It's explained in Krishna book. So Prabhupada says that anyone in any part of the world should peacefully perform devotional service. One place he says. What is the peacefully performing? Chanting 15 rounds and following 4 regulative principles, rising early in the morning. And our duties towards the Lord should never be stopped or reduced. That should go on regularly. Along with that, we should preach. I am sure every one of you here must have had a kind of tug of war sometimes in your life. That, you know, oh, now I have too many things, you know, I am not able to manage, I am not able to balance. We all actually come across that stage. Is there anyone here who did not come across that stage? Practically everyone will come across that. I think many times we all learn a good lesson from our own lives. You know, you go, yes, Krishna. You can take the mic. It says organized religion is a necessary evil for the current age. And also without organization, you cannot expand in the way Prabhupada expanded. Why he formed organization? Prabhupada was one of the most intelligent persons on the planet in his times. Why did he form this organization? Organization may be having some evils. Like, you know, some of you may even hear something bad about ISKCON, people talking in the outside world. What can we do? We can only tell them that, okay, you come and see our programs, you know, you come to our temple. We can try to be sincere and good. You know, because ISKCON is so widespread now, there may be some actual problems going on and, you know, but ISKCON leaders are very careful to take a quick action. If somebody is mischievous, they throw them out of society and all. So there are some evils when you form an institution or organization. It's very difficult to keep everyone in control. But at the same time, it has its own advantages, isn't it? Working together makes our society powerful. ISKCON is there practically in every city now in the world. Every big city, ISKCON centers are available now. And the Nam Sankirtan is going on in every nook and corner of the world, as Lord Chaitanya predicted. You can individually imagine, you know, if all of us have been practicing, we may probably not even be coming like this. If there was no society and a system of initiation and a system of spiritual masters coming down the line. And Prabhupada made clear cut, you know, book distribution, preaching, Padayatra, you know, Ratayatra, Janmashtami, festivals, deity worship. Prabhupada made all these different things in ISKCON. Made it a very proper, wonderful organization. Spiritually, our organization is blessed by Lord Chaitanya and by all the acharyas. It's a very potent organization. We can do our best to remove the pock marks, like pock marks in a moon. There may be some small flaws in our society which can be wiped out by sincere practice of the members. And we can help the other members and we can try to become pure ourselves. Thank you very much. Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki.